Well, in Deuteronomy 20, verses 5 to 7, we have the commands as to what the officers of the army of Israel were to say to their men as they were going into battle. They were to say, look, any man who has built a new house, let him go return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another dedicate it. Verse 6, any man who's planted a vineyard, let him go and return to his house. Verse 7, anyone who's pledged to be married to a wife and has not taken her, let him go and return to his house. Well, this is alluded to very clearly by the Lord Jesus in Luke 14, in his parable of the Great Supper. And these very things are the excuses which people give about, I can't come to your banquet. I have bought a piece of ground and I must, the AV says, I must needs go and see it. I absolutely must. It's necessary. I'm allowed to go and see it. I have married a wife, the last person says, and therefore, as you will understand, I cannot come. So that's exactly the sort of reasoning that is given here in Deuteronomy 20. Look, if you're in any of those situations, that you bought some new property or you've got married, well, that's fine. You don't have to go to the battle. And you see there God's concession to human weakness in his law, his understanding of human situations. And yet Jesus alludes to all that, and he says these are excuses that people give for not saying yes to my invitation to be in my kingdom, to sit down and eat with me forever and ever. So I think what he's showing is that he, the Lord of all grace, is in fact more demanding than the law of Moses was. And so it is, because under the law of Moses, no man, no perfect son of God, loved you and gave himself for you. But under the new covenant, the Lord Jesus, as Paul says in Galatians 2, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And that requires absolutely my all, not some legalistic obedience, not just doing some rituals, not obedience to certain commandments. This demands my heart, and he must come first, before property deals, before marriage, before absolutely anything, before family, before domestic life, before business life. He comes first. And the call that he has given you, come and be in my kingdom, that is what has got to absolutely grip us. We are assured by his grace of salvation, that if we are to die now or the Lord comes, if we're baptized into Christ and we are abiding in Christ, we can confidently say that by his grace, although I should not be there, I will be. That is the good news. And without that assurance, I fail to see that the gospel is good news. We may know things about the kingdom of God, but do you actually believe them for you? Is it really so that me, little me, that I shall surely, by his grace, live forever? Now, this is the good news. This is why we have all joy and hope through believing, to quote Paul. If we are not sure at all of whether we shall be saved, well, I don't see where you're going to get this fantastic joy and hope through believing from. I just don't see it at all. If you are not certain of your personal salvation, if you are not secure in your relationship with the Lord Jesus, then I fail to see then how you can be full of joy and hope. Is it rather not weighing on your mind that I am responsible to judgment of the last day? I have no idea how it's going to go. Oh, no, hang, I've got to go through that at the end of my days. You know, we shall die, and then the next waking moment is the last day, and we are before the judgment. No, I don't think that can be the case. Now, because we have that great hope, we are therefore the more responsible. The Lord Jesus, who has given us that hope and has given us that solid invitation to come to my kingdom, I want you in my kingdom, well, there can be no excuses. You cannot say, well, yeah, look, I'm married. Or I'm getting married. Or, well, look, I'm in business. Look, I'm sorry, Jesus, but look, I can't come. I've just bought a new business. I've just bought a new property. All these things are written off by Jesus as pathetic excuses compared to the wonder of sitting down with him at his table. And, of course, in the breaking of bread, we live out, as it were, we act out, we symbolize that final day when we shall sit down eternally with him in his kingdom. So, as I say, these excuses that Jesus picks up in Luke 14 are all based upon the legislation here in Deuteronomy 20, where people who are in that position of new property owners, newly married, etc., were allowed to not go to the army. And in fact, they were honourably discharged and encouraged not to go. But Jesus picks all that up and is saying, look, I am far more demanding because I am offering you far more. I am imploring you, please, to sit down at my table in my kingdom. And therefore, all the slack that was cut to you under the law of Moses, by its nature, is not cut to you now. It's rather like him talking about divorce and saying, yeah, well, Moses, for the hardness of your hearts, allowed you concessions about divorce. But I say unto you, and we would be wrong to think that the law of Moses was some sort of draconian system, that was in a draconian sense demanding of people. But Jesus is all sort of loving kisses and, oh, it's okay, guys, don't worry about it. That would be a total tragic misreading, both of the law of Moses and of the teaching of Jesus.